1 Corinthians chapter number 7, 1 Corinthians. And in your bulletins this morning, there is a companion handout, and I want you to grab that as well. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 7. And we continue in a series this morning entitled, Two Committed, Enjoying and Experiencing Marriage God's Way. And we will conclude our practical instruction today. Then next Sunday, I have a summarization lesson of the whole series and the various thoughts that we have studied together. And then the last Sunday of this year that we meet together on the 22nd, we'll talk about the greatest gifts that we can give at this time of year. So I'm looking forward to the finish of the year. I'm excited about the curriculum already beginning on January the 5th, especially January the 5th. And I want to encourage you, don't miss that day at 10 a.m. And we're going to pause and give God praise for what He has done in His design in 2013. And I'm excited to share some things with you. But then I'm really looking forward to sharing with you what God has placed on my heart for our class in the new year. And some of the things that we're going to be doing, some of the goals that God has given to us, and some of the things that we're going to strive to accomplish. So don't miss that, and we're sure looking forward to it. But I appreciate you being here this morning, and I'm looking forward to our time in God's Word. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of how to reverence. This is wives reverencing their husbands, and specifically about appreciating his desire for sexual intimacy. Now, I've been teaching our class since August of last year. This is the second time in about those 14 or 15 months for me to specifically take a week and teach on the subject of physical intimacy. And I believe if you're going to teach a couples class, if you're going to teach married people, this is a lesson that needs to be taught. This is a subject that needs to be rehearsed. All God's people said amen. No. It's something that needs to be covered. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. It's in the Bible, and it should be in our hearts and in our homes as well. And I want to encourage you to give me an ear this morning. And I want to be a help to our marriages, to our homes, to our class. I have the privilege and joy of family ministry. And a lot of that is coming alongside families in a season of hurt and trying to pick up the pieces and put them back together. And one of the passions in my heart for this class is to provide instruction that we don't end up there. And that doesn't make us better than anybody else. But where much is given, much is required. And I believe that if we learn, if we apply the Word of God to our lives, to our relationship, and to our home, that they can be honoring unto the Lord, they can be an enjoyable relationship, and they can be an example for our children and the next generation to follow. And I believe that's what you desire as well. So let's jump in. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. The word incontinency means lack of self-will or self-control. So don't let Satan come in and attack or tempt your relationship in this area. That's why God is saying here not to be apart physically as husband and wife. Defraud ye not one the other of this pleasure that God has given the marriage relationship. The bed is undefiled before the Lord in marriage. This is something He has given to the marital relationship. And He says, listen, unless the two of you have agreed, has set a time that you'll come back together again and are taking the sabbatical for the purpose of prayer and fasting, don't do it. Because it's not wise, and it's going to leave your relationship in a vulnerable state, and you're going to be missing an ingredient that I'd intended for your home to have to thrive. And so this is something that God makes a big deal of, certainly here and other places in the Scripture. And we've studied the last several weeks wives, as we look at the reverencing aspect on lots of things, reverencing his desire to work and to achieve or to protect and provide for the family, to serve and to lead, to analyze and to give counsel for your friendship and to enjoy recreation with you. And today we look at an important area where there needs to be reverence and there needs to be an understanding in the context of the marriage relationship. Sex is God's gift to marriage. We live in a culture today that is, we are over-sexed, if you will. We are overexposed and overdosed with sex, but it's not according to God's intention and design. And the problem with that is we've come across so strong against it that a lot of young people think God's against it. God's not against it. God made it. God's for it. God's all for it. He designed it. But he designed it to be in the context of marriage between the husband and the wife. That's God's intent. That's God's design. That was God's plan. And it's something that we need to understand. Then how does it apply to marriage? What is its role? What is its importance? And how can this help us have a two committed relationship before the Lord? So how can we excel in this area? And I think this would be generally applicable to all, but today we are focusing on where the wife might reverence. And we're going to jump right in. All right. Number one, kick the devil out of bed. Kick the devil out of bed. Now, we're going to get right into it this morning because in our class time, I have very little time to teach. And this is a subject that takes a little while to kind of lay the groundwork and get into. So give me your ear and let me do my best to develop this content in the time that we have. But I want to jump right in with this thought of kick the devil out of bed. There's a quote in your notes that I appreciate. It says, just as the devil will do everything he can to bring two people together sexually before marriage, he does everything he can to keep them away from each other after marriage. And if there were ever an issue that was not about the issue, it's this area, the physical relationship within marriage. Satan knows the importance of it. He knows it's a gift from God. He knows it's honored by God. He knows that it serves a very specific purpose in the marital relationship, and Satan's against it in this context. Isn't it interesting that Satan is flaunting this type of relationship in our culture and society in every context except the one God designed? But the one that God designed is portrayed in our culture and society as old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy, boring, nobody wants it. But everybody outside the context of marriage is living it up and having the time of their life. Now, who's painting that picture? That's Satan. That's not God. Satan is against the sexual relationship within marriage. He's for it every place else. He's for it in every wicked and vile form there is. And God is against all that, and God is for it in marriage. So we need to look at our own lives and our own relationships and our own homes and our own bedrooms this morning and say, hey, if Satan has gotten in there, we need to kick him out of bed. When there becomes a problem in the physical relationship within marriage, there can be a lot of reasons for that. We have studied, and we don't have time to develop all this today, but we have studied in the past how men and women are made differently, they're driven differently, they have different needs, and we study this need under the context of how she can reverence, because the area of physical intimacy is one of the greatest needs that a husband has when it comes to the marriage relationship. And lots of things can kind of tear away from that, if you will. And the sexual relationship is a two-way street. What it is ministering to him and to his needs is what affection often is ministering to her and to her needs. And it's a two-way street. And guys, it is unrealistic, it is unfair, and it's unbiblical to expect to have a great physical intimacy portion of our marriage, but not to be meeting her needs by way of showing her affection or talking or making her feel special and cherished and making sure that we're nurturing that relationship. It's a two-way street. If we want access to her body, we have to go through her spirit. Ladies, if you want access to a spirit, you have to go through his body. We're wired differently. We're made differently. It's the way God designed us. We cannot go about closeness the same way. why sometimes there's frustration because you feel like we're not close and you've tried everything you know to do and you feel like pulling your hair out or his. And the reason for that is because you're trying to establish closeness the way you feel close. And he does not translate closeness the way you feel close. For instance, some wives in here this morning say, Brother Rule, we can't be physical intimate right now because we're not close. And her husband is sitting next to her thinking, that's what I'm saying. We need to be physically intimate because we need to be close. And she's thinking, what are you talking about? We can't be physically intimate until we're close. And he's like, I don't get what you're talking about. If we were physically intimate, we would be close. And that can go round and round and round and round and round and round and round. Why? Because to him, that's closeness. To her, it's not. To her, there can almost feel a level of hypocrisy to be open in that way physically and not to feel open emotionally and relationally. And we are indeed made different. And we need to be careful to understand as we begin this journey this morning, hey, Satan's after your marriage. Satan knows the importance of the physical relationship and he's going to do everything he can to thwart it, to divide it, to discourage it, to whatever he can to disrupt it, he's going to do it. And I want to encourage you, don't let that happen. Understand its role in the relationship. It's God-given. It's a need, and it's something you want to be mindful of. So kick the devil out of bed. Number two, I want us to look at two keys to understanding your husband. Two keys to understanding your husband. Now, when it comes to this particular subject matter, there's a lot of jest that we might hear, and wives, I suppose, might think certain ways about it in the sense of it's all he ever thinks about, and this is all he ever wants, and there oftentimes is a disconnect when newlyweds get married and they begin to enjoy themselves physically. There's a period of time where it's like, how could anything ever go wrong in this area of the marriage? And the longer you're married, it's amazing what can go wrong in that area of marriage and how hard Satan fights that area of marriage and how vigilant we need to be to understand it and to remedy it in our relationships and in our home. So what are some keys to understanding your husband in this area? And I want to give you two aspects to understand his sexuality, all right? Letter A. Realize that his sexuality is much different from yours. Now, this isn't rocket science, and I'm speaking to a very mature crowd here this morning, but realize that his sexuality is much different from yours. Case in point, look at Proverbs 5:18 in your notes. The Bible says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. Question, class, is God speaking to husbands or wives there? Husbands, right? Husbands, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. God is speaking to husbands. He's saying, enjoy your wife. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her. A direct command from God to husbands. Question, class. Is that command given in the scriptures to wives? I've never read it. Wives, be always ravished with your husband's breast. I've never read that. I've never read anything like it. I've never read anything close to it. I've never read anything that sounded like it. Why? Because we are different. God comes to the husband and says, listen, you be ravished with your wife. You be in awe of who she is in her beauty and in her body and in the area of sexuality. That is your focus. That is your prize. And you keep your heart and your eyes and your mind under her and only to her. Guys, that's what God says. God doesn't say that to ladies. Why? Because we're different. We're stimulated different. Guys, by and large, are stimulated by sight. Ladies, by and large, are stimulated by touch. We are different. You say, Brother Will, I'm still not getting it. All right, let me paint this picture for you. In the context of your marriage, you and your wife, in your home, let's take the illustration of when we get out of the shower. Fellas, when she gets out of the shower and we are there, the world stops. Our attention is arrested. It doesn't matter now if the children are starving or dying. It doesn't matter if the world is coming to an end. It doesn't matter if a tsunami is on the horizon. Nothing matters. We are enthralled. This is our wife. Conversely, she's in the room. You get out of the shower. She looks over at you and she says, "Honey, get on the rug. You're dripping on the floor." It's not the same. It's not anywhere close to the same. We're different. God has made you and I different. But wives, you need to understand this difference. You need to understand the way that God made him, because God gave you to him to meet that need. It's kind of like the old bathrobe you pull out around this time of year when it's a little cold. It's the one your grandma passed down to your mom, that your mom passed down to you. It's got the patchwork and everything on it, you know. It covers you from ankle to neck with three layers of material. And your husband looks at you in that, and you know what he's thinking? I wish she would take that thing and just send it through the shredder. And then I wish she would pick up the pieces on the other side and try to cover up with that. Now that I would like to see. God has made your husband to be visually stimulated. And my encouragement to our class this morning, who wants to have a two committed relationship and a marriage that pleases God and an exemplary for the next generation, to understand, hey, there's some differences here, and to understand, hey, I want to meet those needs. God has made her to be stimulated by touch. I want to make sure that's there. God has made him to be stimulated by sight. I want to make sure that's there. They say physically that the husband and wife are like the Ferrari and the minivan. The husband is the Ferrari, the wife is the minivan. Now, they both can get up to highway speeds and can make it down the road. But for her, it takes a little bit more work to get there. And guys, we need to be aware of that. Why? Because we hold the keys. And in our ability to show affection, in our ability to make her feel cherished and special, in our ability to be connected emotionally and to have intimate conversation, is all the things she needs to be open. There needs to be an understanding of these differences, and then we need to minister one to another according to them. So realize he's different. Letter B, realize he needs sexual release just as you need emotional release. The Bible challenged you and I in 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not the other. You know what that means? It means do not commit the crime of fraud. When you said, "I do," you said, "I'm going to meet these needs." So God says to you and I, if you withhold from meeting those needs, you're a fraud. You're a crook. You're a thief. That's what God says. God says, you said, "I do," and now you won't. Defraud you not. It's not wise. It's not right. It's not biblical. It's not healthy. It will hurt your marital relationship. Why? Because God has given us needs. And sex is a need that God has given to your husband. And I'm not saying you don't have it as well, but typically in most marriages, it is a greater need for him. And you and I must understand this is the way that God created you and I. No wife in this room would feel it acceptable if your husband didn't talk to you for 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months. Everybody in here would vote he's a jerk. That's no way to treat your bride. She needs conversation. She needs to be connected. That needs to be there. We all agree. Well, as great of a need as it is for her to have affection, is for him to have this area of physical intimacy. And the dilemma for him is when he said, "I do," he said, "This need will only be met by you." So sometimes there's some frustration and strife because in his heart he's feeling like this need is not being met, but where do I go? I can hire a babysitter for the kids. I can take the laundry down to the laundromat. I can hire a maid for the house cleaning. I can get a lot of things covered in another venue. But this area of the relationship only fits in the bounds of marriage. That's the only context it's allowed and blessed by God. And there's a dilemma there. And we need to recognize what this need is and what God has given this area to marriage. Now, again, no wife would think it right for him to deprive her of conversation and emotional connection and all of that. And I want to encourage our class. This area of physical intimacy should never be withheld for any reason other than in Corinthians. When there's an agreement, when there's a set amount of time, when there is a time we're going to come back together again and we're involved in this for the purpose of prayer and fasting. Now, I recognize there's going to be times in the month where you're not feeling well. And I recognize there's going to be give and take. And I recognize there's going to be busier seasons than a non-busier season. And I recognize there's going to be times where we're more tired than at other times. I'm just saying, hey, this is a need that's in your relationship that you need to be aware of, that needs to be on your radar, and you need to know, listen, Satan is fighting. He has a need, and as much as you need all of your needs met, he needs this area met in his life as well. It's kind of like this. Kenneth, would you come up here and help me real quick? And Kenneth is brand new, but I've known Kenneth for a while. I had the privilege of talking to him about the Lord and seeing him baptized a couple months ago. And this is Kenneth White. Kenneth and I are good friends. I've been to his home, and we've had some good conversations in person and on the phone and so forth. And let's say, for whatever reason, Kenneth and I didn't see eye to eye about something, and we've not really had any disagreements or whatever, but let's say that led to that, and it escalated, and all of a sudden, just kind of out of pure emotion, without even thinking, I grabbed Kenneth by the neck, and I began to restrict his airflow. And just in a moment of rage and really just losing control and not knowing what's going on and really losing my mind, I began to suffocate Kenneth. Now, Kenneth is a nice guy. I've never seen Kenneth get upset. I've never seen him yell. He's never thrown a punch at me. But I want to tell you something. If I continue to treat him in this way, it won't be long to where Kenneth is no longer nice. It won't be long till he's no longer smiling. It won't be long till he's no longer, hey, Brother Gabe, good to see you this morning. I mean, before long, he's going to do whatever it takes to survive. Why? Because I'm depleting him of his oxygen. Thank you. In the marital relationship for him, the physical intimacy is oxygen. And when he's being depleted of his oxygen, it's not long till he's behaving in a way that doesn't make sense. And in his mind, and sometimes even subconsciously, he's just trying to survive. It's a need that God has given to him, and it's something that needs to be clearly understood in the marital relationship. Wives need emotional needs met, and we've taught that, and we will continue to preach that in this class. And husbands need the physical needs met, and we cannot lose sight of the importance of meeting those needs. It's the ingredient that God has given the relationship. So here's what I want to encourage you. Number three, kindle the romantic fires with the golden rule. Kindle the romantic flames with the golden rule. Now, we know that we have been created differently. Our anatomy is differently, and while the husband needs the sexual release maybe more often and the wife needs the emotional release and connection maybe more often, this is the way that God has made us. And I described in our introduction that for him, oftentimes having that physical intimacy with you is what helps him to feel close. You say, I don't even understand that because I don't feel close when we're together that way. You're different. What I'm trying to paint for you this morning is the way you feel after an hour at Starbucks, sipping on a cup of coffee, looking across the table, talking and emotionally connecting and being affectionate one to another, that helps you. To him, that helps him because he's helping you. But the way you feel about that is the way that he feels about an hour alone with you. We feel differently because God has made us differently. God has wired us differently. The challenge is United Luke 6:31. And as you would that men do to you, so do you also to them likewise. The golden rule. And the rule I want to remind you of is this. You cannot get what you need by depriving your partner of what your partner needs. Let's agree in the His Design class that in our marriages, it is off limits to deprive, to defraud. All right? Now, if it's with consent for a time for fasting and prayer, and there's an end date to it, go for it. If there's a compromise because of a season of illness or a season of fatigue, go for it. But outside of that context, whether it's the physical relationship or the emotional connection or whatever area of your marriage it may there not be a spirit in this room of, well, we're going to deprive and defraud. It should not be in the vocabulary to say, go take a cold shower. I don't feel like it right now. You're not getting that from me until I feel this way about you. Now, these things sometimes are said in marital relationships where there's a biblical ignorance. Because God says, be very, very, very careful to start withholding an ingredient that I said needed to be there for a marriage to thrive, strive, and succeed. And I'm not just saying to the wife in the physical area, although that's our emphasis today, but take the whole series in context of everything that we've studied and make sure we're not depriving, we're not defrauding, we're meeting each other's needs. Make sure that is there. God says so much about protecting the marital relationship from something from the outside. And wives, men are most vulnerable when this area is absent in their life. It needs to be something that we are sure of. And by the way, you do the reading, you do the research. I don't know of a husband who yet has said, I never feel more affectionate and intimate and feel like talking with my wife after we have been together physically. There's just something that being with her opens the door to his heart for her in a way nothing else does. It's designed by God. It's a bond that God gave the marriage relationship that is supposed to seal it and make two become one in a way that doesn't apply to any other relationship, which, by the way, is why sex outside of marriage doesn't have that effect. We live in a culture today that people just have sex for the, you know, for the fact of doing it. It doesn't mean it's a relationship without benefits. I mean, it's just something we're going to enjoy, and it doesn't mean anything. There's no strings attached. There's no commitment. It's just, hey, let's go let down our hair for a night. And our society has so twisted what God intended. And God said, that's not what it was at all. I gave it to the marriage relationship as a special ingredient of adhesive that would bring them together and give them a bond known by no other human relationship on the planet. That was the design. And we want to make sure it's there, and we want to make sure we're meeting these needs in our life. And then lastly, as I run out of time, number four, keep your marriage secure by being open. And I don't have time to develop this, but let me say this in the closing prayer. Wives and husbands, can I encourage you, keep this area open in your relationship. Wives, I often tell the husbands, take you on a date and ask questions that are going to leave them vulnerable and open, and you communicate with them. Can I flip the coin for a minute today? When's the last time you and your husband, in the context of just being together, that you've said to him, honey, are we together physically as much as you would like? Is our physical relationship pleasing to you? Is there something about it that you would like to see different or better? You say, Brother Rule, I can never ask that. Why? Why? This is an ingredient God gave marriage. We've got a generation that's following after us that looks at what we say we believe. Abstinence till marriage. Marriage only for husband and wife. Marriage only for man and woman. And we stand on the old black book and we preach the truth unashamedly and we say, this is what we believe. But they get past the message and they look at the life that we live. And look at the context of our relationships. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we're saying to a lot of them, be miserable like us. But it's right. And I think they're thinking in their minds, why can't you do right and have fun at the same time? And I think if you read the Word of God, that's kind of what he had intended. You study it. It's a pretty fun subject. It's a wonderful thing that God gave marriage. And I want to encourage the families of his design class. This is an area Satan's going to fight. So understand it. Know that each other are different. Talk about it. Is this something that we're enjoying? Is this something that's enhancing our marriage? Is this a frustration? Is it a roadblock? Is it awkward? Where is it? We need to be open and talk about it. And then we need to meet the golden rule in our relationship. And husbands, we need to understand, listen, as passionate as we want her to be about our physical life and being creative and keeping it fun and all that, are we doing that for her needs? Are we meeting the needs of her heart and cherishing her and convincing her that she's loved and cherished and special by us? Are we doing that? Do we know what that means? And many of us this morning need revival right there. And wise for you as well to know he has needs. And I vowed to meet them when I said I do. And I don't want to be a fraud. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to renege. I want him to be my first ministry. I want our marriage to be awesome. I want people to look at us and not lift us up because of who we are, because we're nobody. But I want people to look at us and the fact that we're following God's plan and say, that works. I want what they have. And that's what God wants the testament of our relationship to be. And may it be that. May we keep it open and talk about it. And may God help us to thrive in this area and in every area of the marriage relationship. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come and to open your word. God, I pray that you would do a great work in our heart. Lord, help us in this area to be open. And may this need be met. It may be the catalyst for every need being met mutually across the relationship panel. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every family in our class. Give us a great time together at our Christmas party on Friday night, and we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.